Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
We're going to continue a lesson where we started off last week. We're going to continue. It's actually on God's way to spend. And having already prayed, we're going to go right into this. And so as you look at the opening paragraph here of this particular study in our series on What's the Word on Money, as already stated, God's perspective on and adopting his principles regarding money matters will help you properly manage his money. That's in quotes because we learn that we are stewards of his money. He gives it to us. He allows us to get it. He permits us to earn it. While there is a God-approved way to get money, and I believe we looked at five, there may be others. Can you recall for me, with me, what are the five ways that we found from Scripture that God allows us to get money? Work, lawful employment.
Investing.
Gifts.
Inheritance.
Bonuses, that kind of goes in that idea of the gifts. Is there another one? Borrowing is another one. Legitimate borrowing, okay? So those are the five ways that are in Scripture that deal with the idea of receiving money. So now we are looking at God's approved way to spend money. And believers receiving money God's way need to know how to spend it his way. That only makes sense, right? Well, the temptation to deviate from God's prescribed ways to spend money abound, just like getting money. So as you learn and obey what God teaches about spending his money, you will be blessed accordingly. It's that sowing, reaping principle again. So we're going to look, first of all, at some principles before we look at the practice. Number one, we follow these principles. Can you fill in? Well, the blank is already filled in for you. And that is, be disciplined within your means. We looked at this briefly last week. And this has been mentioned all across the spectrum in financial seminars, books about finances and everything else. Little do people realize it comes right from the Bible. It comes right from the Word of God. And so when you think about it, we're living within your means. Can you kind of give a nutshell description, definition of what it means to live within your means?
Don't spend more than you earn.
Okay, you must not spend more than you earn or more than you have. So living within your means, because the other extreme, not extreme, but the deviation from this is living beyond your means. And there's a lot who do this. They are living way beyond their means, and it's kind of keeping up with the Joneses. Remember that philosophy? And it's also been said, we're oftentimes buying things we don't need to impress people we don't know, where it really doesn't matter, right? Yeah. And there's a comparison factor. And so, therefore, we want to have more than what we can really legitimately afford. And so in which direction is the scale tipping? And the scale should tip so that income is more than the outflow expenses. That should be a principle, not just in families, not just in individuals, but even for our church. And by the grace of God, we are practicing this. And God has been good. And so that is one of the reasons why we have a budget. It's one of the reasons why we disclose to you the financial status of the church. We never disclose the names and numbers and amounts and anything of that. That's all personal and private. But how much did we receive? Where did it go? And as a church body, it is incumbent upon you, where did it go? How is it being spent? If we have major expenditures, it is your decision. And so when it comes to even corporations, well, they have these kind of measures as well. If you have a business, this really needs to be put into practice. The government should really put this into practice. However, they are the greatest offenders. It is an unfortunate thing. Did you know that I heard that the national debt increases $1 trillion every 90 days? I can't even fathom what $1 trillion is. But we have a very spend-happy government. And so in which direction? This is the principle you have to consider. Because in order to have this scale balanced properly, you have to know how much is coming in. That has to be an understood knowledge, okay? So I have this coming in through my salary or through my paycheck. I have this coming in through some investments and so forth. So I have this to work with. That's called disposable income, all right? How much is going out? Well, we got to know what our expenses are. And so there is knowledge about all of these different things that we have in mind. Do you know how much you spent last month? Here is the statistic that I found. 65% of people surveyed do not know how much they had spent. They don't know. They know that money has gone out. What did you spend it on? I don't know. One of the assignments I give, if I'm doing premarital counseling or if I'm doing any kind of financial counseling, I give the couples this experiment. What did I do? What did I tell you to do when it came to finances? Do you remember? Yeah. For how long? Yeah. Well, a month, basically. And that's hard for young couples because if they're not yet married, they don't know what they're dealing with. But however, it sets a stage. How much money did you spend this month? So I give them the assignment, take 30 days and write down every single purchase. If you bought a pack of gum, the other day had to get a pack of gum. I walk in. I'm still surprised. It's 50 cents a pack. It's like, whoa. Well, that's not bad. It used to be 25. Now it's 50. So that's pretty good. And so in my little journal, I keep track. I'm a nut like this. I keep track of everything I spend. I ask Dawn, will you give me your receipts? And part of the reason is, as a pastor, I am eligible for certain deductions in housing allowance and so forth. But I have to keep track and I have to be able to document it. And so I put in my little journal, 50 cents I spent for this. But 65% don't know. May I ask you a question? Do you know how much you're spending? Do you know where your money's going? Can I give you this little assignment? Husbands and wives, or young people, singles, or wherever you are, take 1 month. Maybe you can retroactively go to January 1st and write down every single purchased item amount. At the end of the month, look it over. Categorize it and see, and you can say, okay, necessities, non-essentials, okay? Because if you're going to be a good steward, you want to know where it's going, right? God has given it to you. You can't just go ahead and spend it here and there willy-nilly. We need to know where it's going. And that helps us to learn to live within our means. Any comments, thoughts? It's kind of a review of last week. Any thoughts? Number two. Anybody want to try to fill in the blank for us? I know there's three of them. Be discerning to know what is essential for life and what are luxury. Now, this is a follow-up of living within your means. Let's look at a few passages of Scripture. Proverbs 13:7. Who would take Proverbs 13:7? Jonathan, Gary, would you go to Matthew 6:24 and then Luke 12:15? Luke 12:15, Jim. Again, these are just a samplings. I could have thrown in here the 1 Timothy 6. Let me do this. I'm going to throw 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8. Who would like to take that one? 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8, Jack. What is essential and what are luxuries? Needs and wants. Let's look at them. Proverbs 13, 7.
One pretends to be rich and has nothing. Another pretends to be poor and has great wealth.
All right, yeah. And so why are you poor? Why are you rich? It's having to do with discerning between what's essential and what's not. Matthew 6:24.
No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
All right, now this may be a little bit of a stretch. However, I think it's implied in here that you can't serve two masters. Therefore, you've got to know what are essential and what are not. And therefore, when it comes to mammon, money matters,
You can't just go ahead and get anything and everything you want. Matter of fact, probably could have thrown it as well. Because what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? I mean, you didn't really discern between what's essential and non-essential. And there's a spiritual component, obviously, in all of this. Luke 12:15.
And he said unto them, take heed to beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses.
All right. Your life does not consist of the things that you have. Because there's more to life than your possessions. There's more to life than your bank account. And what he's really defining here is the difference between how you view life spiritually and earthly. Now, you need earthly things to live, right? How you used a car to get here, that's an earthly thing. You got dressed in clothing, that's an earthly thing. You probably ate breakfast this morning, maybe you didn't, but that's an earthly thing. And so all these things, money does really kind of encapsulate everything in life. But your life is not just consisting. I could have wrote here too, a number of verses now flooding into my mind, in the book of Romans, that the kingdom of God does not consist of food and drink, but of righteousness. And I forget what the next, but it is essentially pointing out that your life on this earth is more than what your possessions are. 1 Timothy 6:6-8, Jack.
But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith contentment.
So what are the two basic necessities for life? Food, shelter. I know raiment can carry with it the idea of shelter or clothing, and it could encapsulate both, because there are people, and I was again reading in my devotions and reading about with the Old Testament law, you don't hold somebody's cloak because what's he going to sleep in that night? There were times when people would travel, and wherever they came upon at the night, that's where they slept. And what was their protection? Their cloak, their outer coat, if you will. And so clothing, shelter, and food. Those are the two basic necessities. How are we doing in America? So let's define. If you would do the difference between wants and needs, how would you characterize and what would you say would be the wants? What?
Ice cream.
No, no, no. Oh. You're touching on some very sensitive issues here. That's food. It's very healthy food. Food groups incorporated in that. Amen? Yeah. You know, it's interesting you point that out. Now, listen, it's a humorous thing. But how quick we could be to justify wants as really needs. Right? Is ice cream a want or a need? We can joke about it. It is really a want. It is. I mean, do I need it to survive? Do I need it to live? I am glad for you who are supportive of the ice cream consumption. How else would you characterize wants?
Make it.
Say it again.
Okay,
a fancy new car. Do you need a car? Well, you do need a car. What kind of car do you need? Coming up on the next slide. Well, how else would you characterize?
Say whatever is bigger and better.
Bigger and better.
Whatever is beyond what you can afford.
Oh, that's another good one. Whatever is beyond what you can afford. Well, I thought I had wants better first. Okay, needs. Let's look there. You would describe needs, you would characterize needs as the basics to live and to survive. What do you need to survive? What do you need to live? Well, physically, you need oxygen. You need exercise, sleep, food. All those things are needs. Okay, you must have them. If you do not have them, you do not survive. And that's where 1 Timothy chapter 6 defines that. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus' own Sermon on the Mount passage, he defines that, food and raiment. And that's why even last week's message from Matthew 6:33, we don't take thought. We don't worry because he's going to take care of your needs. It says in Psalm 37, verse 25, David says, "Well, once I was young and I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." In other words, God promises to take care of your needs. He doesn't promise to take care of your wants. He will take care of you. Now, on the other hand, the wants, they're characterized as extras in life that are not essential. These are known as luxuries, treats, extravagance. And if you can afford, say, for instance, you need a car. Okay? So maybe all you can afford is a Nissan. That's my old Nissan. Yeah. On the other side, it's not gold plated, but it's a Lamborghini. Do you need a Lamborghini? Some people are like, I really do. Do you need it? No. And going to the point that was all the way back in that first, learning to live within your means. If you can't afford a Lamborghini, then you should not buy one. A house. I need shelter. Well, maybe the house, this is not my house. This is a house that's say typical 2-3 bedroom ranch. On the other side, you get this palatial estate. And some look, I need that room. I need 13 bathrooms. You don't know what goes on in my house. Or I need 4-car garage. Got to put my Lamborghini in there. Food. You might have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. That's all you can afford. On the other side, you may have steak and lobster. So you have to condition yourself. You train your mind, the perspective of God and the principle, live within your means. Determine what are my needs and what are my wants. I need a car. This happened to me. My old Nissan, unfortunately, was on its last leg and to the point that my wife didn't like driving it anymore. My son said, Dad, you need another car. So what's wrong with this car? It kind of reminded me of It's a Wonderful Life. Hey, Dad, did you know the Browns next door got in? What's wrong with our car? No, anyway. And it got to the point where safety is an issue. Maintenance is an issue. So I need something new. I have to look and say, what can I afford? I can go into the car payment realm and buy a brand new 2000 and whatever brand new car. I have never bought a new car. That's not my, and if you do, that's your prerogative. So I'm looking and say, well, I'm looking at this car. I'm looking at, okay, this is what I can afford. And so when I bought this Honda, well, okay, I got it 2 years now. It's doing fine. It worked well. Maintenance list, you know, not doing too well. I mean, it doesn't need a whole lot. So could I have gone the realm of maybe getting a Hummer? Or perhaps maybe, I don't know, what's a really expensive? A Corvette. I've always wanted a Corvette. 1969 chocolate brown, two-top convertible hardtop for $6,000. I was ready to buy it. Chuck Schwab, he was selling it. A couple of guys had it. I test drove it, a nice four-speed. It was great. It rumbled because it had side pipes. It was wonderful. Then the Lord says, Troutman, I want you in ministry. That $6,000 went to my college education. Okay. That was a want. The training for ministry was a need. And I couldn't have driven my Corvette to Minnesota to go to Bible college. It wouldn't have done well in the snow anyway. But you get the idea here. You have to determine based on what is coming in, your income, and what are your needs. You teach your children this, and they will develop a very good ethic and understanding of money matters. Because sometimes our kids, I need new sneakers. What's wrong with your old ones? Well, because they're 6 months old, Dad, and the new ones are out. They're only $485. I need them. Everybody else has them, Dad. I need a new phone. Do you ever go through that? Phones are one of those things. Every 6 months, there's an upgrade, a new phone. Finally, Dawn, we had to get her a new phone. She had a Samsung Galaxy 8. Now, if you're in the phone industry, you know. Because the new phones out right now, the Galaxies, they're 24. We are 16 generations behind. And it's surprising that the guy didn't say, oh, you have a rotary dial on your phone. What's on, you know? We go, and what can we afford? What do we need? And so we get what we need. When you think about that, needs and wants, only you can determine that for your life. Because your income structure is going to be different all across the board here. And so needs and wants. But if you don't need it, don't buy it. If you really want it, then we go to the next principle, and that is this. Be patient to wait until you can afford to make a cash purchase. By the way, any other comments on that last thought on discerning between what's essential and non-essential luxuries? I think it's pretty self-explanatory, right? The next question is, are you living it? When you do that little homework assignment, take 30 days and just put down what you spend, then you can categorize it between what are needs and what are wants. And if you enter into financial troubles and you know you're really struggling, this can help kind of, wow, I guess I have to give up my $18 Starbucks latte, triple mocha delight extravaganza every day. Yeah, you probably should. Because 18 times 30, wow, that's a lot of money I'm spending on this. And I can get a Wawa cup of coffee for $1.60 and I can save money. Or I can make it at home. Wow, that's even better. Ah, yeah. I got to work outside, so instead of spending $42 on my lunch every day, I can take it from home. And I'll tell you what, eating out anymore has gotten very expensive. Had Joel and Sarah were here. We decided we're going to give Mom a break so she doesn't have to cook at night. We're going to go out to eat. I had a gift card for Chimney Rock, $50 gift card. So for the four of us, I'm surprised. I'm spending how much? I didn't even have a $50 gift card. We didn't even eat a whole. This is why I don't go out to eat a lot. Dawn is a great cook. We go to the grocery store. We could buy a week and a half's worth of groceries for what we spent going out to eat. Now, if you can afford to go out to eat, go out to eat. If you can afford it. But for some of us, I can afford it, but I don't want, you know. Anyway, so we be patient. Let's look at some passage scripture. Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. Who would take that one? Alex? How about if we look at Proverbs 24, 3. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. Jonathan, and 27. Might as well do all three verses. The Luke 14 passage, I'll kind of, well, 14, 28 through 30. Who's there would take that one? All right, Gary? How about if we go to Philippians 4, 11 through 13? All right, Mary. And then James 5, 7 and 8. Marielle. Thank you. James 5, 7 through 8. Listen to these passages of scripture because they give this principle of waiting until you can afford it. Proverbs 6, 6 through 8.
Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest.
So you have the ant. He gathers in the summer, so he has for the winter. There's diligence. And a industry type of thing. Good principles from there. Proverbs 24, 3, 4, and 27.
By wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established, by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Prepare your work outside, get a thing ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house.
All right. So let's keep going. Luke 14, 28 through 30.
For which of you, intending to build the tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all the beholders begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and is not able to finish.
Okay, and then also Philippians 4, 11 through 13.
Not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned that whatever slave I am, therefore with feet, I know both how to abase and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Yeah, principle from Paul, that's a good one. James 5, 7 and 8.
Patiently waiting for an
thank you. So in these passages of Scripture, they may not specifically state, all right, be patient until you can afford to make cash purchase, but the principles are there. And what you have to do is, when you look at a purchase, is it make your own payments? Is it in the budget? Can it wait? I tell the story of when I was working, back when I was before age 16, put all the money in the bank. When the time came for me to start driving, before I even had my license, I was out looking for a car. I only had so much money. I had about $2,400 in savings at this point. And went to different places with my neighbor. And came upon this 72 GTO. That's it. That one right there. It was $2,200 because I bought it for cash. I got it for $2,150 and then the tax and everything else. Almost all my $2,400 was gone. Well, you know, I need sheepskins for this car. That was the trend back then. How many of you remember that? You put sheepskins on your bucket seats? Oh, then, you know what? These slots aren't going to do it. I need Krager SSs. And actually, I need the 15-inch, not the 14s. I need L60 15s in the back. Oh, and it needed ladder bars because that coil springs and I had some wheel hop when I do my burnouts. I need ladder bars. I need headers on this. That'll help fuel. That'll help my fuel and give me more horsepower. Oh, I need a new carburetor. Like, what are you doing? I could afford it, but you know, I didn't have much left. And I could kick myself to this very day. Somebody would have sat me down and said, Daniel, let me talk to you for a minute. This car is almost becoming your God. You are pouring so much money into it. Do you know something? It's not a good investment. I went to sell that car like 2.5 years later. I got a Ford Bronco, a 400. I mean, talk about gas hog. I probably got 2 miles to a gallon. Anyway, he gave me $1,600 on a trade-in. $1,600. Yeah, but this doesn't matter. It's not worth that. It's worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. Now, I was able to spend because I had it. But when you go back to the principles, was I living within my means? To an extent, I was. Did I discern between what's essential and what? No, I had no discernment. I wanted what I wanted. And at times, I was patient. That Holley 650 spread bore carburetor, $139, that's a lot for that day. I had to wait 2 weeks to buy it. Because back in that day, you couldn't just do a credit card. I didn't have a credit card. There was what was called deferred gratification. You familiar with that term? If you can't afford it right now, wait. That's a principle that's lost, even among our children. I need it. When do I need it? Now. Just go to the ATM. Little boy tells his dad, Dad, you can get all the money you want. You go to that machine, right? You put in your card. You can get all the money you want. The child didn't understand that that money has to come from a source that's yours, bank account, savings, checking. Rosemary.
Amazon can deliver the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just awful. I mean, it's just it's really shortening our willingness to, perceived willingness to say no to ourselves.
Well, we are conditioned in a lot of ways to have what's called instantaneous gratification as opposed to deferred gratification. If you need something heated up, you now have a microwave. How many of you remember days before the microwave? You had leftovers, you had to heat it up in a pan, and you had to wait until it was done. How many of you remember the old coffee? Sometimes it was instant coffee. Remember that? Taster's Choice was popular, and you could just pour it in there. I hear you. Or the ATM, you needed money? When I was growing up, the banks were closed on Saturdays and Sundays. And so if I needed cash, they didn't have ATM machines. I got my paycheck on a Wednesday, went down to the bank, got whatever cash I needed, and that's what I had. Unless, hey, Doug, can I borrow $20 until Wednesday? Mom, can I borrow $20 until Wednesday? And that's the way it worked. Today, I need something. And then the credit card. And we can get into big heap trouble. And so that's where we teach our kids the idea, listen, can I really afford it? Planning? It's like the verse Gary read about the king. Who is it that just goes to war willy-nilly? No, I got to sit down and count the cost. So a principle on spending is found right here. Be patient. Wait. Now, some occasions is not a wait situation. Your water heater breaks down. And there's water now coming onto the floor. You got to shut off your water. What am I going to do? There are times when you have emergency situations. So spending for emergencies, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. But there are times where you have to spend, because if your water heater goes, you need a new water heater. You may have to go on the credit, or you have savings for an emergency fund. This is where it comes in. That's coming up next. Say it again.
Cold showers. Yeah, cold showers for a while.
There may just have to be. You may not be able to. If your power goes out, what are you going to do? There are certain times you are forced into situations. Do you have candles, flashlights? Maybe you have a generator. So these are things which you may plan for, but it's the spending of the money. Spending on essentials. And then the fourth one is quality purchases. Oh, and this is getting more difficult. Be wise in making quality purchases in every situation. Because the adage is true. You get what you pay for. And the other thing is true. Pay me now, pay me later. Okay? Let's look at a couple of verses. Proverbs 16:16. Who would take that? Proverbs 16:16. Michaela, how about if we go to Proverbs 28:20? George, Rosemary, Proverbs 31:16. That's the virtuous woman passage. A lot in there to learn from on quality purchases. Proverbs 16:16. Again, it's not spelled out specifically, but when you look at all these verses and you look at all these principles, you could see the interweaving of every single one of them together so that we are being good stewards of the spending of the money that God gives us. Proverbs 16:16.
How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to gain understanding is to be chosen rather than silver.
All right. So wisdom rather than all kinds of money. So you can have all kinds of money, have no wisdom. Or you can have wisdom, but not have all kinds of money. Which is going to go further? Yeah, the Bible says the fool and his money are soon parted. Proverbs 28:20.
A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent.
All right. So, yeah, you make haste and you just quit here or there and just go ahead buying willy-nilly, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, you're going to get in some trouble. Proverbs 31:16, a virtuous woman.
She considers a field and buys it. Her profits, she plants a vineyard.
All right. So when it comes to wise spending and quality purchases, this may go in different directions than you think. All right, so I have a choice. Am I going to go to Dunkin' Donuts and buy quality food? A big donut. Or maybe I buy a broccoli head and eat that for a snack. I'm a glutton for sweets. And over at the Amish market, they have sticky buns. Oh, I love sticky buns. But they are not the best way to spend my money. So I justify it. On Friday, I go in the morning and I go to the section where they have the reduced. One sticky bun is probably 18,424 calories. It's dripping with the caramelized goo. And it's got all the stuff. It's so good. It is really good. And it's regularly $2.25. And now I can get it for $1.50. Oh, like, is this? And I do this to myself. Troutman, why are you here? I'm walking through the Amish market. Troutman, get out of here. You don't need this. You're trying to kind of do some waste management. You're not helping yourself. I have this conversation. Do you ever have those conversations? And I go in and I see there's two of them. One's got raisins and one's got nuts. You can have the raisins. I'll take the one with the nuts. Now it's 19,234 calories. It's still a buck and a half. You know something? It's not the best of purchases. I can go to a ShopRite and get three bananas for 84 cents. No, less than that. So quality purchases. Some people go, well, I need this. I'll go to the dollar store. Yeah, the dollar store may have it for $3 less, but it's going to last three times less. It's going to break and all these different things. One of the best things to do is do research. Compare. And one of the blessings of technology is when you're looking to make a purchase, find online all the different consumer reports on it. What are the reviews of this? If you buy the same item, and I shared this before, there's what's called planned obsolescence. Did you know this started in 1958? I mean, we're talking about, close to 70 years ago, two generations ago. Look what he said. Brooks Stevens, industrial designer. We do this for the soundest reason to make money. So basically, let's start it off. Our whole economy is based on planned obsolescence. We make good products, we induce people to buy them, and the next year we deliberately introduce something that will make those products old-fashioned, out-of-date, obsolete. We do this all to make money. Brought to you by the Post Landfill Action Network. And planned obsolescence. So things are not as quality. I've told a story about the pull chain light fixtures. They used to be porcelain. So I found that a couple of them in our basement, they just, it gets stuck. I'm not buying them at Home Depot or Lowe's anymore. No offense to Home Depot and Lowe's. I'm going to go over to Cooper Electric. And they specialize in various electrical products. So I talked to the manager. I said, hey, Jim, I said, I'm looking for these porcelain fixtures. And I'm tired of buying them where they break down. He said, I'm sorry, I can't help you any better. Because we're getting it from the same manufacturer, and they're going to break down for you just as much as the other ones were. You might as well get them over there. They're cheaper. It's like, And that's what's happening at times. With vehicles and with foods, with appliances, we want to be... What's that? Yeah, parts. I talked to some who are in the building trade, and they order parts, and they get it, and it's like, this is junkola. I can't legitimately install this for the customer because it's going to break. So you try to find something else, or you get the wrong part. Or if you have a product and you're trying to find parts for it, they no longer make it because that product is no longer available. You might have to go on eBay or a junkyard to get it. You ever have that happen to you? And, washing machines. My wife really likes those old-fashioned, like the Maytag or the Kenmores. They were the Whirlpool ones, top-loading, and it didn't have all this computerized stuff. They didn't have all this. All it was just a washing machine. You try to find one. You can't anymore. Everything now is high efficiency, front-loading, and all these other things. So you have to either get used to changes, or you're going to live a very frustrated, miserable existence.
So all of this is about us earning income and how to disseminate it. It's great. But what do you say about, okay, I need a car, my car is ripping out, I don't have the money for it, and I'm going to pray about it, right? Mm-hmm. How do I want to ask this question? What do you do in that situation? I've prayed and I'm not getting a new car. Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm asking, that verse you talk about, I have been old, young, and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, but there's the begging for the streets, right? So that's faith. That's mm-hmm. trusting God for our needs. Mm-hmm. At what point do we come in? Maybe that's the way I want to ask it. At what point does our effort come into God's provision?
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's go back and look at the slides and see. When you're disciplined, discerning, patient, wise, all that is predicated on, I'm praying for this. And I should have made that a point. I think that's clear. We pray about these things. Lord, help me to live within my means. Help me to discern and when you're praying about these things, and then you go to a major purchase, looking to buy a house, looking to buy another car, then you, multitude of counselors, there's safety. So you're praying about this, and you know this is going to be a major expense, and you know how much you can afford, and you weigh it out. Do I get into car payments? I can afford car payments. Okay, that might be the option I have to take. I may not have the cash right now because used cars, new cars, the prices are pretty high. And so you seek counsel, all right, and then you pray earnestly, and then you do your research, and what vehicles, quality vehicles, what do I need? And then you, by faith, as God's not going to write it in the sky for you or send you an email, thou shalt buy a 1999 Nissan Sentra, Altima, whatever. But you, with discernment, with the principles in hand, and with the counsel and the prayers of others, you step out and make that purchase. And it may mean cash purchase, you can afford that. Or it may mean entering into car payments, which you can afford. Well, how much? I can afford $150 a month. Well, that's going to limit what kind of car you get. Or you pray, maybe the Lord will gift you a car. That's happened at times. People have received a gift. But you don't walk around saying, I really need a car. Would you give me yours? You know, no. But we pray and we seek, and God has ways of answering. Either he can give you the cash that you didn't think you'd have, or a car comes up. This just happened to somebody I know personally. I got a note, hey, neighbor's selling their car, they're moving, and they're asking X dollars for it. I'm thinking, wow, that is a really good price for that vehicle. And so I sent it out to the congregation, and the person who bought it, I was thinking about, well, maybe I could buy that. And then, you know, and my mind's going different directions here. But the person who bought it actually got it for $500 less. And it was a very good deal. And God can do that. And he did a tremendous blessing for the person who bought it. We've been looking for, I looked, I don't know how long, for a car for Melissa. Or I was looking for a car for myself. I didn't just go out and buy the very first thing. Research, search, planned. I know what I can spend. And that's, it goes in that direction. So God will always do his part. He will always guide you through the scriptures. He will always answer prayer. But he also expects you to do your part. There's an element of research. There's an element of faith. And then there's do it. And once you did it, it's done. So what if the car breaks down? Oh, Lord, this must not have been your will. The car broke down. No. Maybe the car broke down so you can witness to that mechanic, and he's gifted you the money to pay for it, or you never know those kind of things. So once a decision is made, it's made. Make sense? That help? Yeah. Some of this gets very nebulous because we love it. I tell you what, we love it when things are so clear, so unmistakable. The Lord just drops it in our lap. It is so obvious. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes it isn't like that. Sometimes it isn't like that. One of the testimonies of our family is when our landlord, we lived on Main Street, renting a house. Landlords, and this time the market was really hot. Houses were selling like crazy, over their asking price. People bidding for it. He said, I'm putting the house up for sale. Okay. And he said, well, it'll be a couple of weeks until the real estate agent puts a sign out front. And this was on a Saturday afternoon. Tuesday I get home, there's a real estate sign in front of my house. House for sale. I thought this was going to be a couple of weeks. So we change our family devotions and we're praying. And now we're looking for rentals, looking to see where we can go. Because I got a phone call 2 weeks later from the real estate agent. Hello, this is Russ Oaks. Hi. I'm the agent representing. And I said, okay, why are you calling? Well, the house is under contract, ready to be sold. And I said, oh. And this is Mother's Day now. And they said, out of courtesy, we're going to give 60 days to you until the house closes. But if you can move it along, that'd be greatly appreciated because we have a very eager buyer. And we start praying. You were praying. And somebody asked me, Pastor, are you worried? I said, no. Really? No. And I wanted to say under my tongue, you're doing enough for me, so I don't need it. But God provided where we are now. And out through a sequence of events, I didn't think we could afford it. But he told us and what the rates were and all this and down payments. And boop, boop. I said, yeah, we can afford this. It's going to be a little tight, but we can afford it. And so the real estate agent that I was working with happened, it's just a sequence, just beautiful. I'll just share it real quickly. So this agent calls me at 4 p.m. Hey, Dan, this house just came on the market. It doesn't even have a sign out front. There's no lockbox. I said, oh, where is it? 9 Washington Street. I said, where's Washington Street? He said, da-da-da, okay. He said, you go over and look at it. If you want to see it, I'll come over. And see if I can't contact the listing agent. So he contacted who the listing agent happened to be in his office. And so they both worked it out. And I gave my wife, who happened to be in my office, I gave her my cell phone, remember the old-fashioned, and I said, if you like it, call me, and I'll come over. And so she calls, hey, can we see this? And when she said that, I go, okay. So I call the real estate agent back, and he says, oh, yeah, the other agent, he's got the key. Actually, there's somebody over at the house right now. They're selling a motorcycle. Just go over. I'll be right there. I'll meet you there. We go inside. It's smaller than what we wanted, but it's everything we prayed for. Hardwood floors, baseboard hot water heat, some mature trees, enough of a yard for the kids, privacy. It's like, and you pinch yourself. Thank you, Lord. And at 5 o'clock, we gave them an offer. They came back and said, no, we want the full price. So we said, yes, we'll do it. 6 o'clock, I had a check in the hand of my real estate agent who gave it to his real estate agent. We bought a house. And here we are, 23 years later. And, you know, God provided. And so we did our part. God did his part. Any other comments? Nice stories. Jim.
I don't know if you're going to touch on this in another lesson, but, you know, this is all great on how to, you know, manage and just, what about on the opposite? I remember growing up, we used to watch a show called Frugal Gourmet.
Oh, yeah.
And you had, you know, I have a friend who holds on to that money so tight that it was a piece of coal to be a diamond in 10 days. Now, where do we depart when you talk about wisely and not wanting to spend that money? Is there a lesson in there? I mean, I'm not saying waste it, but going to the opposite end, maybe never use your Scrooge type. Is there something that you're going to go on?
Yeah, next week I'll get to it.
Okay.
Savings. There's a bit difference between saving and hoarding. Okay? Because not only can people hold on to their money so tightly, they can hold on to their possessions. Does anybody ever have a relative or somebody you go to their house and it's like you can't even get in it because they have saved every paper bag, they have saved every bread tie, they have saved every whatever, newspaper, because they might need it. They came through the Depression. And some people, that mentality is still there. Anybody ever have that? Okay, so we'll get to that next week. Good thought. Any other comments? Rosemary.
I just remember something's changed because I remember the Maytag salesman who was bored because he wasn't getting any service calls.
Yeah.
You know, we used to build stuff because of our reputation.
Yeah.
And we wanted to build something good.
Yes.
And that's all gone. Well, not all gone, but
so here you have kind of this, and we'll close it. The digital era has brought about an exponential increase in the number of ads an average person encounters daily. We all walk around with smartphones that are in themselves a portal into a world of limitless advertising and market exposure. The growth in digital device usage and improvements in connectivity and connection speeds have facilitated this surge in ad exposure. As reported by Adweek, the advertising and tech industries continue to involve introducing new trends and strategies in ad placement and content delivery, all to sell a product. And sometimes these products, planned obsolescence, are deliberately manufactured to break down in a certain number of years or to not be available.
Yeah, but I'm saying that I think a biblical,
we've
taken that shift from a biblical worldview.
Yeah, well, that factors in. Because in this case, they're not manufacturing for quality and reputation's sake. They're manufacturing and advertising for sales and profitability and bottom line. So we meld the two together. Okay, so they're advertising, but I do want to find quality. I find quality in foods. You got to be careful with foods anymore. Processed food versus real foods. And vehicles and every purchase we make, we have to sift it through. Is this quality? Debbie.
It just came to mind, too, that, you know, back not that long ago, however, I guess a long time ago at this point, but, you know, what you had available to you was what was in your stores.
Yes.
You know, in your area, right?
Yeah.
Versus this concept where everything is available to
you
for work.
Exactly,
work,
right.
You know, which that's different. You know, which adds to, I think, a lot of the younger generations, I see, the boys I work with, you know, they want everything. Well, it's also all available to them in a very short period of time. It's like fee shifting, you know, and it's all on credit or whatever, but your needs, the things you need, are not much larger, and they're very quickly blurs the needs and wants.
It is, so
I know you want the stuff that was a different part of the country or the world, but now it's thrown in your face, and it adds to those lists.
Right.
You know, it's just kind of
overwhelming. Well, it's made it even more difficult, and we have to be that much more principle-oriented for all of these. And that's where you really pray earnestly, and as a couple, as a family, you pray together, you work together, you look at these principles together, and that's going to help you when it comes to spending God's money His way. We're going to pick it up point two next week. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do pray for wisdom. We know that what you've given to us, it's limited, and it's expendable. It's temporary, but we need to be good stewards, faithful with what you give us, all to the praise of your glory. So help us in all this, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.